us, it's interesting to note that, of course, we have many chukim in the Torah, laws without reasons. Parah Aduma is just one of them. And yet, we find by Parah Aduma, instead of just saying that it's a chok and describing what it is, it explains it as being the chukas ha-Torah, symbolizing a chok for the whole Torah. And we have one other time that this is described in this way, and that is by Parshas Matos, by Klei Midyan, which will Mirz Hashem explain there. But as far as our Parsha, the Kol Dodi explains in the following way, that just as we see Parah Aduma, so to speak, magically makes someone who is Tamei Tahor by the sprinkling of these ashes of the Parah Aduma, so also Hashem has decreed that the Torah itself can magically, so to speak, transform one who is a Baal Aveira, a sinner, into the biggest tzaddik. Logically, we can't understand why someone who masters Baba Metzia, Baba Kama, Baba Basra, for instance, can become transformed into the greatest tzaddik. One who might have been the most coarse person can change into one with sterling character traits. The most humble of people who was before the most haughty. But that is the power that Hashem gave to the Torah. That we witness this ourselves, where Bali Tshuva and others have become completely, radically modified to become true Bali Tshuva and better people, honest, straightforward, and caring with their fellow human beings. And I would say also that the Parah Aduma symbolizes the four elements that we find in nature that Hashem created. And that is fire, water, earth, and air. The earth, symbolized by the ashes of the red cow, the human being that comes from the earth and is returned to the earth. Whereas the ear, symbolizing the neshama, invisible. The neshama that Hashem breathed into the human being. And this is what his goal is in life, to make that earth into the spiritual neshama. And the fire of the Yetzer Hara, which has to be extinguished with the water of Torah. As the Gemara brings from a pasuk in the Navi, that the Torah is compared to water. And we can also say, Eish Das, as the pasuk tells us, the Torah is compared to fire. And just as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Su Meirav Asei Tov, so also the Torah makes you depart from evil. How? By cleansing out, purifying you with the fire of Torah, cleansing the Yetzer Hara, purging it out of the person. And then once it's out, Asei Tov, to do action, good, which is symbolized by the waters of the Torah, learning and mastering its laws to fulfill the will of Hashem. And nature, of course, as well as the whole universe and all its components, are the creations of Hashem to fulfill His will. That's why nature, Hateva, is the Gematria Elokim. Another attribute of the Parah Aduma, which symbolizes the Torah also, is the fact that we find the Parah Aduma is Metame Tahorim and Metahir Tameyim. Just as it purifies those who are Tamei, Meis, so also it is Metame, makes unclean those who are Torah. The ones who prepare the ashes of the Parah Aduma, they themselves become Tamei. And this is symbolized by the Torah too. As the Gemara in Hayyaris, Darshan from the Pasuk in Hosea, Sadikim Yelchuvam Uposhim Yikoshluvam, that the same Torah can be the elixir of life, a Sam HaChayim, and yet also for those who distort it, who learn it improperly, the wrong way, it becomes the Sam HaMavis, the poison of death. Gemara in Brachos Darshins and Pasuk Yudalid, Zos HaTorah Dom Ki Amuz Ba'Ohel, that this is the Torah. The person who dies literally in the tent. The person who is willing to sacrifice for Torah to master it, for it to become part of him, a living Torah, has to be willing to sacrifice in the tent of Torah, for the tent of Torah. It doesn't come by looking for the next pleasure button to press. It doesn't come from looking for the next taiva to be catered to acquire, to act upon. Because pashat, you won't have time to learn Torah if that's the only thing you're looking out to do. And even when you do learn Torah, chas v'shalom, your mind will be occupied. When can you get to the next pleasure opportunity? As the Mishneh in Avos also says, kachi darko shel Torah, such is the way of the Torah. Pas ba melech tochel, umayim ba mesurat tishte, aval oretz tishon, v'chayetzar tichye, uva Torah ato omel. Hem ato osa kein ashrecha v'tov loch, ashrecha b'olam hazeh, v'tov loch olam haba. One who is willing to do without, to forego the pleasures of this world, to be able to learn Torah, that's the one where the Torah remains, will endure, and become the greatest pleasure that Hashem, of course, guaranteed us. Ba'olam hazeh en olam haba. We also know that the standard tent in the Torah describes where the person lived, especially in those days, in tents. And, as Rosh Hashiva Shlita explains, that's also pshat in the pasuk, ki yomaz ba'ohel, atayt ahoyz, so to speak. When a person is willing to give up a new, beautiful house, luxuries, chandeliers, mink coats, new cars, etc. As a story is told of the Chafetz Chaim, when a rich man came to visit him and he saw the poor conditions, one room that the Chafetz Chaim lived in, and he wanted to buy him a new place with beautiful furnishings, of course. And the Chafetz Chaim asked him, when you came here, did you bring your house with you when you traveled and all your furnishings? And he told him, of course not, Rebbe. I'm just passing through. This is not my permanent home. And the Chafetz Chaim answered him, I'm also just passing through. This is not my permanent home. My permanent home is Olam Haba, what I'm working for and doing for. And that's what we said before. Willing to forgo the pleasures of this world, in quotes, so to speak, in order to fulfill the will of Hashem, to master His Torah, to occupy one's time with that, which is surely the Olam Haba and this Olam also. Once you do it and realize it, it is the greatest pleasure. Pasuk Yutes says, V'hizeh ha-tohar al-tomei. One has to be Torah himself before he sprinkles on the tomei. And that's a lesson for all of us. In order to teach someone to correct his way, we ourselves have to be an example. The greatest teacher is the one who sets an example for his students. Mum shebechal tomei lechavelcha. The blemish which is in you, do not say to your fellow. Kshot atzmecha tchila, as the Gemara says. Correct yourself first. Ideally, one has to practice what they preach to be truly able to give over and teach the proper way. The Gemara says that the Rebbe has to be Kamalach Hashem Tzvokos, or else forgo him. He himself has to be a human Malach. Perek Chaf begins that B'nai Yisrael, Kol Ha'eda now come to Midbar Tzin. They're ready to enter Eretz Yisrael. And as Rosh Shiva Shlita explains, that's why it is mentioned next to Parah Aduma. Because as Rashi brought down before, the Parah Aduma, one of the things it does is to be mechaper for the Egel. And now, after 40 years of wandering in the desert, of the generation dying out that sinned by the Egel, from 20 to 60, so now they are ready to enter Eretz Yisrael. Also, the lessons of the Parah Aduma. As we said before, to forgo the materialism of this world for the Torah. Now also, that the Yidden are about to enter Eretz Yisrael, they are not anymore going to be supplied from heaven with the man, the Anani HaKavod. And they have to take the lessons of the Parah Aduma to reject the materialism that they will see in Eretz Yisrael, to take the brachas in a positive way, not to be involved so much in the materialism to get rich, chas v'shalom, at the expense of Torah. As it says, Vayishman Yishurun Vayivot, to avoid that danger. And the Gemara also says that that's why the death of Miriam is placed next to the Parah Aduma, to show that just as the Parah Aduma is mechaperes, so the death of Tzaddikim is mechaperes. And one can ask, what is pshat in that? Is it some kind of abracadabra, that a tzaddik dies and a rasha should be forgiven, so to speak? No, that's not pshat. As the Moshe Zatzal explained, the pshat is that a person takes to heart the death of the tzaddikim. The ideal is that they examine themselves, the mefashvesh b'masa, that they understand what is the reason that we had to lose such a tzaddik, that he's not, he or she, not here anymore. To have introspection, turn over a new leaf, that we shouldn't have these kind of kabanos, that we should do the right thing, fulfill the will of Hashem, follow His way of life that he set forth in the Torah. And then, when we take that to heart, the proper way, the death of the tzaddikim, that's when it's mechaperes. When we cry over their loss, when we take it upon ourselves to turn over a new leaf, to follow in their ways, to do our utmost to act in the way they acted, to learn their lessons, so there shouldn't be any more misa, bila amoves lenetzach, that we should all be zeicher to tchias ameisim and yimei Mashiach. That is when it's truly mechaperes. Rishi begins with the famous incident where Moshe was told to speak to the rock, and he hits the rock. Of course, we can say one thing that made Moshe Rabbeinu err is the fact that Hashem also told him to take the stick with him. Of course, we know what the bottom line is. Moshe Rabbeinu lefi madregoso still should not have slipped up. But besides the fact we can say it was done as an nisayon, you can also say, as Rosh Hashiva Shlita Koldodi explains, Teddy Roosevelt, our president, maybe even got it from here, made a statement: speak softly and carry a big stick. What he meant by that is what we can say, what Hashem wanted to show here also. The fact that a leader, he has to go as much as possible with honey, just as a teacher or a parent or anyone dealing with their fellows. But at the same time, he has to show that he's capable of going with the sting also, of carrying out a punishment, that he can back up his words, that he can back up his position. Or else, as we know, people will not listen. The Meshech Chochma explains why, by the pasuk right before Chamishi, it says Vayimayin Edom, and by Sichon, after Shvi, it says Lo Nosan Sichon is Yisrael. And he explains that Edom, even though it had a king, but it was basically a democracy. The king led, like our president. And therefore it says the people as a whole, Edom, the nation. Whereas Sichon, a dictatorship, he answered for all of them, whether they liked it or not. And I would say that that's why we have a mafsik between Bayamayin and Edom in the pasuk, in order to show that it wasn't complete. You had those that were willing to let Bnei Yisrael come, get the water, go by the derech, by the land. Just like you had Ovadja Hanavi, or the Ger Tzedek from Edom. You have, amongst all the nations, at times, good ones. And that's the point here also. After Chamishi, on Pasuk Chav Gimel, Rashi brings from Chazal, that the reason why Aaron died now is because they came close to Eitz of Harosha. And we have to understand that L'chaira, they did what they were supposed to. In fact, in the Devarim Perek Beis, Hashem tells them they should get provisions, buy provisions from Edom here. And we know they were supposed to the nations, offer them peace first, to try to convince them to leave peacefully or let them go peacefully. But we see from here how careful one has to be always, that we must say that they got too chummy, maybe too submissive, as we see in Ravie, how he went into a whole explanation to Esav why they should let them go. So we always have to be careful not to overdo anything, to say that we shouldn't, but to set boundaries for ourselves. Before Shishi, B'nai Yisrael complain again, and Hashem punishes them, sends Nechashim, snakes, which kill many of them. Mida k'neged mida, measure for measure. Just as a snake spoke Lashon Hara, but Kofi Toiva didn't appreciate what was done for him, making him the king of all the animals and chayos, and it wasn't good enough for him. So also, the people were speaking Lashon Hara again and didn't appreciate the good that was done for them. So Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to make a nachash, put it on a pole. And of course, as Rashi explains from Chazal, that it wasn't the nachash, of course, that kills or keeps alive. It's the person themselves. When B'nai Yisrael are listening to Hashem, seeking help from Him, knowing that everything comes from Him, then they would live. Otherwise, Chas v'Shalom, they will be killed. And Moshe Rabbeinu, on his own, makes a copper nachash to place on the pole. And as Rashi explains from Chazal, so to speak, a connection between the words, a play on words, nechash, nachash, has the same letters as nechoshes, copper. But the Rosh Hashivan Kol Dodi explains that we can say there was more to it than just a connection between the words. And what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing was teaching them that just as Lashon Hara has the power to, so to speak, magically convince someone that what he's doing is right with the Yetzer Hara and all averus. And we can say also that just as Lashon Hara, with a few words, can ruin and do untold damage to people, so also copper is the same color as gold, but it's false. It's not emes. It can't be tricked into thinking that this is real gold. That's the lesson. Don't be fooled by the glittering attractions of the Yetzer Hara, the Averus. They only offer fleeting, temporary pleasures. Don't last forever. How long does one live here? No matter how many years, hundreds of years, which we don't live anymore. The Chas v'Shalom give that up for all eternity. Any right-thinking person knows it's not worth it. When you have the greatest pleasure forever after by fulfilling the will of Hashem, when you have the infinite guarantee from Hashem, who is infinite, for infinite pleasures for all eternity, who would be foolish enough to do otherwise? In the first pasuk in Shvi, It says Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim, and Rashi points out from Chazal that in another place you see it says Vayishlach Malachim, that there the Shlichus, who is the one who's sending, speaks of it as Moshe Rabbeinu sending, and here as the people. And that has to teach you that Yisrael is Moshe, Moshe is Yisrael. Shenotzi ador hu kachol ador. The leader of the generation is like the generation itself. And it's not as far as just rulership, power, representative of each other that we're speaking about here. It goes deeper than that. It is the influences which each one has on the other that's even more important, whether for good or for bad. And you see that in other places. For instance, as the Kol Dodi points out in Vayikra Perek Dalet Pasuk Gimel and Vayikra Perek Dalet Pasuk Chavez, in the first pasuk it says Im HaKohen HaMashiach Yechatol HaAshmas HaOm. And one reason given there why it says that it's for the guilt of the people, even though the Kohen Mashiach is the one who's sinning, is because when the Kohen Mashiach sins, Kohen Gadol, it's the biggest chilul Hashem, Chas V'Shalom. Because when people see that such a tzaddik fails, makes a mistake, they say, if he can do it, why not them? That's the biggest chilul Hashem. Similarly, you can have the reverse, where if the people sin, it is that much more difficult for the leader to rise above the rest of them. As we see by Noach, one pshat of Tamim Hayabidorosav in his generations, according to the low status of his generations, he was a Tamim, a Tzaddik, but he couldn't rise above them. And at times we see that what the other pasuk shows, that Asher Nasi Yechad Evosa Achas Mikol Mitzvot Hashem Elokov, Ashrei, happy, as Rashi brings on from Chazal, is the Nazi that is an example to his generation, that he's willing to admit when he does an Aveira and ask Hashem for Mechila. And that sets a powerful example for the rest of the people. Just like the Gemara, Avodah Zarah, says that David HaMelech sinned, and that was a Pesach for all future sinners to learn that no matter what, a person can return to Hashem if he does a Tshuva Shleima. As the Mishnah Navos says, Al Tihi Rosha B'fnei Atzmecha, the biggest Yetzer Hara is when a person says to himself, what can he do after the terrible things that he or she did? How can he ever come back to Hashem? It doesn't matter anymore. That's the worst Yetzer Hara. Person has to know, no matter what, we have this many instances in the Torah, that there's always the ability for the person to come back and do tshuva. Hashem is always ready to accept his child. He just has to be sincere. And if you do it the proper way, a true tshuva shleima, as the Gemara says in Yuma, that you can even not only erase the former sins no matter what they were, that's if you do a tshuva meyira, just from the fear of Hashem. But if you do a tshuva meyava, from the love of Hashem, from the realization that without Hashem, nothing exists. The whole existence of the universe and yourself is because of Hashem. How can you not love someone who gives you the opportunity of life, an everlasting life. If you do a tshuva me'ahava like that, the former sins become mitzvahs. Because Hashem knows you can't fool Him. That if you had the opportunity now, and sometimes, as the Rambam says, you get the opportunity to be in the same situation, you would never do it again. Now some examples in Tanakh. Rachav Azona. Azona for all those years and did a tshuva shlema and became the wife of Yehoshua ben Nun. And Rus Hamoavia, the classic Ger Tzedek, a righteous convert that became so righteous that was deserving that Mashiach should come from her. That is to teach us a basic principle, to show that you can sink to the lowest of lows and still come back to reach the highest of highs with the greatest tzaddikim. It's up to you. In your hands, Hashem is waiting.